Woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. Didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert.
Hello and welcome to Sunday Morning Coming Down, part of the Pull Tab Sports family. This is episode 81, but in some ways, this is episode 24, because I am celebrating my 24th wedding anniversary today, as a matter of fact, this Sunday. So, happy anniversary, Stace. I love you. Let's get into it here. Last you left our hero, that's me, I was trying to build margin into my life. A friend of mine had said that I should build some margin into my life. You'll recall this just means have some free time so that you can decide to do fun things or maybe clean the garage. So this is how I did this week. Monday, went to a charity event that my brother invited me to. Tuesday, I went to the Minnesota Wild home opener, which was a hockey smorgasbord. Absolutely unbelievable game. All the things, all the feels. Wednesday, I went to dinner. Stacy and I went to dinner with her stepbrother and his wife, or as I call him, cousin. Thursday, my parents came over and we took them to our new lot that we purchased. And tonight, Friday, went to the Gopher hockey game with my daughter. We ate at Outback Steakhouse, a capstone event for her because she had worked on the media team for Outback Steakhouse for 1 year. You'll recall Stacy and I went there the first night of our daughter's job, and it seemed appropriate to go back on the last night of her job. Although I did not have a bloomin' onion because she told me, I don't know, she said the calorie count was a little bit too high. But I will say, Outback Steakhouse, not bad, and not expensive, by the way. So I guess I'm not building margin into my life with a week like that. But I've told this story to a couple people this week, and both of them kind of stared at me and they said, so when you build margin into your life, you do that so that you have free time to do fun stuff. And your problem is that you do fun stuff all the time. And they were confused by that. And that's accurate, but it's not quite right. Because when you're running, you feel like you want to get off the roller coaster sometimes. You feel like you just want to have 3 days with nothing in front of you. Maybe sleep in. Maybe just have nothing on the calendar. So I'm not doing what my buddy told me to do. I'm sure that doesn't surprise any of you at all. One thing I am doing, though, is wearing my 5 Jay Hilburn items constantly. It's gotten to the point that I'm going to have to start keeping track of what I wear to business meetings, because I'm pretty sure every single time I go to a meeting with the same clients, I'm wearing the same outfits. That's unfortunate. So I have doubled down. I've bought some more items. They're coming. And I was thinking about it. This sponsorship, women out there, your husbands, I was thinking, so this is a high-end product, right? It's going to cost you, you know, $400 or $500. It could cost you, I guess, $200-$300 if you just bought one or two things. But this is for people that ride in Ubers, not taxis. This is, you know, you're going to have a custom clothier, right? So I don't think most of those people go on to Instagram and comment that they want to hear more. So what I would advise you to do is go on to your own Instagram and look up Styled by Andy Galvin, Andigalvin. Styled, period, by, period, Andi Galvin. That is your girl. She is going to get your clothes better. She is going to make your husband look better. She is going to measure and give you custom casual. Let the compliments begin, Jay Hilburn. So reach out. You don't have to do it in public. You don't have to do it on my show page. But I really want more people to feel as good in their clothing as I do. So you'll recall last week that I said how terrified I was whenever I would find one shoe. And this happens more frequently than you would think. I would say throughout a calendar year, two or three times I will be walking somewhere and see one shoe. Maybe it's a children's shoe. Maybe it's an adult shoe. And all I can think of is whatever went down with that isn't good. Was somebody kidnapped? I don't know. Whatever happened that allowed someone to end their night with one shoe is not good. And I want you to remember that. It's going to come full circle this week. I did get out to Boston last week. Our daughter was part of the class of 2020 that was, you know, blasted into the world when COVID happened. So I got to give Boston College a lot of credit. They did a full make good graduation and everybody came back, and it was almost cooler because these kids hadn't seen each other for 18 months and they got kind of like a reunion mixed with the graduation. They did it right. All the parents came out. We were all in a hotel. We had a night football game. They had a stand-up in the second quarter, and people clapped for us. And they did the full graduation. Walk across the stage, get a coin, read your name, the whole deal. Cap and gown, all of it. It was really, really nice. It's not that often you get make goods in your life, and they did it. They did it right. They also had a great graduation speaker. And if any of you ever have to give a speech anywhere, all you need to do to be successful is pick your theme and stick to it. Pick your theme and say it over and over and over again and make it interesting. This guy had his theme was about being a lighthouse. Be a lighthouse for the world, which isn't that complicated of a speech, but he just delivered it. He took that thing, he told you what his speech was about, he gave you the story, and then he told you what he had just told you. It was just done well. And when you see somebody in total command as a public speaker, it's a pretty cool deal. The other thing I observed out there in Boston, this is a very much a college town, right? So half of the people in Massachusetts are college students. I don't know what's going on, but I would say one in three women between the ages of 20 and 30 are dressed so that they're showing their stomachs. You think I'm making that up. It's just not. It's true. I mean, you could drive down by the U of M right now and you'll see the same thing. No joke. One in three people. I just went to the Gopher hockey game tonight driving home. It's 40 degrees out. They all are showing their stomach, one out of three. And it is crazy. It's all everybody. So if I was a girl right now, a young woman, I guess I would have to do this. It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense to me. Can you imagine what that must feel like? I can't imagine going out socially and like wearing a half shirt. I know I'm a guy, but like that's just got to be a whole different experience. So God bless you. That's something. I'm pleased to report the secret smoker is migrating to a new location, a new secret location. We had the first one there this week. Place is clean, spacious. I think it's got real promise. It's not as cozy as it will be when all the stuff gets in there, but it looks like the tradition is going to continue, even though the host is moving. So we checked a new venue, and it was definitely successful. I got to talk a little bit about Big Wood, because they have two events coming. And if it's anything like the Flip Cup was, holy buckets, I think you got to check this out, because it's going to be a real good time. So on Saturday the 30th, so this is this Saturday, Big Wood at the Tap Room is having a Halloween patio party with a band called Drink 182, which must be a Blink 182 cover band, a fun 90s cover band, they say. They're going to start at noon. The party starts at noon, and they're going to take the stage around 7. There's a costume contest. There's winners. And then the next day, on actual Halloween, they're going to have pumpkins and pints on the patio from noon to 3. You bring your kids up there, have a couple pints, and they're going to paint some pumpkins on the patio. Pumpkins are going to be $12. It comes with a beer for the grown-ups, and all the paint and all the supplies are complimentary from Big Wood. So that's pretty cool. Halloween, another busy weekend for your favorite local brewery, Big Wood beer. So I had a great question this week, and it's a reminder of why we started this podcast in the first place. This is meant to be an antidote to the anxiety age. It is my goal to be the cool uncle to maybe some of you people out there, young people, anyone that just is not feeling great, worried about how they're living their lives. It is my goal to share my life with you and make you feel better about yours. Not necessarily because I'm always doing something worse than you are, but I'm human. I am without a doubt human. And I think by hearing all of the different ups and downs of my life, maybe you won't feel so worried about your own. You might feel like somebody's with you. That's my goal anyway. So I would love more questions to be sent to me. All you got to do is email those to pulltab productions@gmail.com. Just send me a voice memo. Send me a video from your phone. I never use the video, but I like to hear people's voices, because this is what it's all about. That's why we started doing this in the first place. And this question this week is such a reminder of what this is meant to be all about. So enjoy.
Hi, John. Juan. I always call him John. I'm actually here with Miguel. And so we kind of have a new question. And he's going to say it in Spanish, and then I can say it in English. So here, you go, Miguel.
Say it in English first.
I say it in English.
Yeah.
So what keeps us from getting to know new people? Like, what is the barrier? What gets in the way?
¿Qué es lo que nos impide el hablar o conocer a personas que no conocemos? ¿Cuál es esa barrera?
Okay, let us know if that works.
So these are my new Spanish friends, obviously, the Tranquilo Flip Cuppers. And that's, you know, hey, I just told you how to give a speech. That's how you ask a question. That is simple and interesting. So when I first heard that question, I really tried to think about it. And I think as a Minnesotan, we kind of get set in our ways. You know, we're provincial is a word they'll say about us a lot. And I used to even say this a lot. I would say, you know, I got enough friends. You know, I'm not looking for new ones. And it was a joke, but it kind of wasn't a joke. I've never won any awards for being a super friendly person. My wife handles that for our family. But I was trying to think about why that was. And I think the reason you don't meet new people is there's a feeling of putting yourself out there where you feel like a loser, because what you're saying, what you're showing to the world, is that you would like some more friends. You would like to add some friends. You know, so when you do that, you feel vulnerable, and it's a tough position to be in. I was with my daughter tonight, and I was asking her about this, and she said she felt the same way. She said social anxiety is a reason you might not meet new people, but she said confidence is really what's behind it. If you're confident, you're going to meet people all the time. You're going to bump into people. People are going to want to meet you. And confidence isn't easy. It's hard to be confident, certainly all the time. But she had a couple just gems of wisdom. She said, and you know, when you really think about it, I don't know what we're so afraid of, putting ourselves out there trying to meet somebody new. If you put yourself out there and try to meet someone new and they're not nice to you and they don't want to be your friend, she said, you haven't lost anything. You wouldn't want to be their friend anyway if that's how they handle it. That's not someone you'd actually want to be friends with. But that wasn't her greatest piece of wisdom. She said, the reason most people don't, what stops us from meeting new people, the heart of the question is, you meet new people when you do new things. And most people stop doing new things. And that is just a tremendous thought. And it's true. The very people who asked that question this week are these foreign language teachers that I met playing Flip Cup at Bigwood last week. I entered the Flip Cup tournament because they're a sponsor. I probably wouldn't have normally done that, but you know, trying to be a team player. But I mean, and it was so fun. I mean, I do Flip Cup tournaments. You know, even when I was telling our kids about this, you know, they were like, "What? What are you guys doing? Why are you driving home? What do you have tonight?" And it's true. And part of the reason that night was so fun was we met all these new people because we were doing something new. So I really want you to take that to heart this week. If you do new things, you will meet new people. And it's a good thing to meet new people. It's fun. Got to talk a little bit about Willie Anderson. There's a potential that I may be in the middle of a trilogy for this podcast. I thought last week's episode 80 was pretty special with the story of the pull tabs. And I do got to tell you, so I took that cash from pulling the $2,000 pull tabs. And my belief is when you win something like that, you have to spend that money on something right away, or it's like it never happened. You know, my wife wanted me to buy a new phone. I didn't do that. But when we were in Boston, I needed a new pair of running shoes, and so did my daughter, our daughter. And we went to Marathon Sports. It's right at the finish line of the Boston Marathon. Walked in there. I got fitted. Our daughter got fitted. Walked up to the counter, and I told her, you know, we're going to buy you a pair of running shoes. And I get to the counter, and I go, watch this. And she goes, what? Paid in cash. Just snapped out $100 bills. You know, bang, 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 bang. Threw in a pair of socks. All pull tab winnings, converted pull tab winnings at White Bear Bar into new shoes on my feet for the next 6 months, new shoes on my daughter's feet for the next 6 months. By the way, vomit has been seen outside of White Bear Bar. I got a new photo. I'll post it. I know people love those. So we did have somebody went down hard. But so this trilogy thing, I got an absolute wild drinking story this week from Boston. Not proud of it. I had the big week last week on episode 80. And here's the deal. We're having a big party tomorrow. You know, it's our anniversary weekend. We got a couple musicians coming to our house. You know, a couple kegs. You know, I don't know. We might have 40 people there. We might have over 100. Who knows? Bonfire. So I hope I keep things tight. But I was at the liquor store today. I'm at Catronio's. And I was buying just the seltzer portion of the party. And there was a guy next to me in line, and he looks at me. I'm stacking up all these. They only have 12 packs of seltzer, unless you're at Costco. And so I'm stacking up all these 12 packs of seltzer next to the counter of the liquor store. And this guy just looks at me and he goes, "Going hard in the paint, huh? You're going hard in the paint." I was like, "Man, you have no idea. There's two kegs of Coors Light in the back of my truck right now." So hopefully get through to, you know, tomorrow without giving you too many more stories. But we may be in the middle of a trilogy here. I thought about wearing my Willie Anderson t-shirt tomorrow. I might do that. I got to see how it fits. I haven't broken it out yet. But if any of you want to save money on your insurance, all you got to do is hit anything on Sunday Morning Coming Down Pod Instagram and just ask Willie for a quote. You're going to get the shirt automatically, even if you don't switch. I did see Willie's picture at Mariucci tonight on the team photo. I'm going to post that on the Instagram as well. That'll be your reminder to reach out and get those shirts while they last. Because as Willie says, as a rule, stupidity is covered. Speaking of stupidity, okay, so when I started this podcast, you know, my business partner and I had this idea, and we were calling it Blank Tape, and we were the entire podcast was going to be drinking stories. We tried to do it. It didn't really work. It turned into what you're listening to now, but the Blank Tape was his phrase for browning out or blacking out. So in Boston, one of the nights we have some parents, all the roommates' parents, my daughter's roommates' parents, they one of them hosted a dinner at this restaurant called Committee in Boston, this really nice restaurant. Get there at 6. There is a two-hour happy hour with heavy hors d'oeuvres, standing. You know, you're in this front room of this beautiful restaurant. They have cocktails. At one point, you know, they got kind of fancy cocktails. The girls are there. This is a group of 20, you know, including the parents, 20 people. And it kind of gets out that one of the parents is going to pay for the whole thing, which is pretty amazing. So we had kind of been joking, you know, who should we sit by at this thing? Who are the other fun parents? You know, what's the hot seat to have at the table? What's the good seat? Where do you want to, you know, are there any cul-de-sacs here? Or is there just a all-pro couple we should sit by? So we hear this, one of our daughter's roommate's parents is, they're really fun, is what we hear. You guys would love each other. They're really fun, okay? So this couple walks in, and I see this guy, and he's wearing these old high-top shoes. They look like they're from a garage sale, you know? And he's a big dude. They're just smiling already. He walks right in. I walk right up to him. I'm like, "Hey, I understand I'm supposed to get to know you." And he's like, "I've heard something similar about you." We order a drink called a Yacht Daddy, both of us. Yacht Daddy has Fruity Pebbles on top. And we settle in, we talk, we're laughing a little bit, and we're eating some hors d'oeuvres, drinking for till 8 o'clock at night, 7:50 maybe. So 2 hours in. At this point, everybody's basically full and has drank their full, and we're ready. We could just go home. It could be the end of the night. No, not the end of the night. We're gonna go into a private room and have dinner, okay? Kind of a Greek Mediterranean place. What that means is they have a little cocktail called Ouzo, which is the high-end version of Jägermeister. Not really, but kind of. It's black licorice. So there's just flights of Ouzo going around at my end of the dinner table with our other fun couple. So it's the wife and I and the other fun couple. But by the way, there's lots of fun people. No joke, to my right is a theology professor, a woman from Boston College. To my left is the host of the party, who's having fun. Kitty Corner to me is a philosophy professor from Boston College. And then straight ahead of me is the other wild dad. And then to the right is the other wild mom. And then my wife's in there too. So we are just in this. It is all happening. Uzo. Talk about religion. Talk about philosophy. Talk about the Civil War. I mean, it is just on. We get through the dinner. The responsible people start to leave. And I, the wife and I stay with just this other fun couple. I said that like fun couple was in quotes, but it's not. They legitimately are fun. We stay there. We continue to drink. We continue to get ouzo. I go outside and you know, with the dad for a little while. While I'm outside with him, smoking, I decide to switch shoes with him. So I'm wearing one of his dirty high tops. He's wearing one of my black shoes. So we're each wearing mixed matched shoes. We come back in. We now decide that the four of us are going to go to the bar where the girls have gone. We're going to surprise them. And boy, did we ever. It's called Ned Devine's. So we take an Uber over to Ned Devine's. I think this is pretty much the last memory I have is seeing my daughter's face when we walked in, and she didn't seem super thrilled that we were there. I know at one point there is another memory a little bit further where I was wearing their daughter's white go-go boot at some point. So now for me, that is seen. That's seen. And seen. So that's the blank tape. So I literally go from being in Ned Devine's with the go-go boot to waking up in the hotel with my wife. Now, I could have woken up in a jail cell. I could have woken up under a bench in downtown Boston. I could have woken up on the 50-yard line of Alumni Field. I did happen to wake up in my hotel room. And so now we're in question and answer mode. So when this happens to you, what you sort of do is you're trying to, you know, info gather. And she tells me, you left me at the bar. And when I was so furious at you, I got back to the hotel. I got a glass of wine in the lobby and I was waiting for you to come home because I was really going to give it to you. But then when I went up to the room, you were laying on the ground next to the bed in mixed matched shoes. Okay. I don't know why I was laying on the ground when the bed was there. I think this has happened to me once before in my life. And I think when, you know, the wife and I had a little argument, and I think when I feel deep shame, and I know that maybe I've behaved badly, you know, leaving her at the bar. It's almost like a doghouse. I lay on the ground because I feel I'm not worthy to be on the bed. Another person said, no, I think it's just because you can't fall off the ground. You can't fall upward. That might be true as well. So I kind of process this. Okay, you know, I kind of stay in bed for a long time on Saturday. I end up going on a run. And I'm kind of like over it, sort of. You know, we just had fun, you know. You know, even my wife's sort of like, you know what, you don't need to beat yourself up for the whole weekend. You just, you know, yeah, you just had fun. You know, we were at a 4-hour dinner. We were drinking ouzo. This happens. But the only part that bugged me was, I didn't know how I'd gotten home. I had no Uber record. I didn't think I could walk home from there, not in the state I was in. what I had concluded was either I had paid a taxi driver, you know, given him a 20 cash and mumbled, you know, Liberty Hotel and ended up there. I at one point was trying to convince my wife that maybe she was also had a lot to drink and we came home together and she doesn't remember that. No. So I'm like, and I couldn't get past it. So that entire next day, I would have been fine, except I had this 2-hour gap in my night the night before. And so I thought maybe when I came home from the football game on Saturday, maybe a doorman at the hotel would be like, "Hey, buddy, how are you? Remember, I did a fireman's carry and brought you up to your room last night. That was crazy." And I'd be like, "Oh, you did? Thank you for that missing puzzle piece." But nope, nothing was, you know, I'm not getting any information. So it's just this, then I'm kind of like, you know what, let's just put some distance on this thing. Let's just not ask questions anymore. We'll just never know. Well, we get to the tailgate. And I see the other fun parent couple, right? And I come up to them, and I'm kind of meek. I'm kind of looking at the ground. I go, "Hey, you have any idea, like, maybe how I got home last night?" And the wife just lights up. "You don't remember?" "No. No, I bet you don't." Well, this is, like, straight out of Dumb and Dumber. She says, "You and my husband leave the Ned Devine's, and you want to eat some street food." Now, keep in mind, we've been eating for like 5 hours before this. So we apparently each eat a sausage off of a cart. We get an Uber. She kind of says to me, doesn't your wife want to come with us?" And I said, "No, she's good. She's going to walk." Great. Awesome. Husband of the year. And but I'm in the Uber and I start coughing. And I can't stop coughing. And the Uber driver's frustrated with this. I have my mask on, but it's kind of crooked. Her husband won't put his mask on. And when we get to my hotel, the Uber driver just says, "Hey, you guys you're done. This is last stop for you guys." I get out of the Uber at my hotel, and I'm wearing one of his shoes, and he's wearing he's wearing a shoe too. But I just zip into my hotel. He tries to chase me because he wants to get his shoe back. But he misses me. He gets separated. Turns out Uber sends her a note the next morning. If she's ever going to drive Uber in the future, ride Uber, she has to send a picture of her in her mask. So she's in Uber jail because of this evening. And I find out, so the next day, this guy, for whatever reason, he really wants this shoe back. So I bring it to graduation. I stick it in a bus stop near the hockey rink where the graduation is, and I give him his shoe back. But, wait for it, he doesn't have my shoe. Nope, he lost it that night. So somewhere by a hot dog cart in Boston, on a curb, maybe in the bathroom of Ned Devine's, there is one black shoe, my shoe. And some person saw it and thought, "Geez, I wonder what kind of night they had." And let me tell you, they had a big one. Get it. I don't want to.
Well, it's best if we all keep this under our heads. But I couldn't tell if anyone here was feeling the way I do. But I'm lonely now, and I don't know how get it back to good.